L'chaim,
l'chaim.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, you're professional. You know how to do it. First of all, that'll work. First of all, we all owe a big thanks to Shimon. Shimon, everything you see in front of you is because that man is dedicated to making things happen. And and thank you. Thank you, Shimon. Tonight is the... What Shimon didn't know was that he was actually making a Yahrzeit Suda for the Tiferes Shlomo. The Tiferes Shlomo is Rav Shlomo HaKohen from Radomsk. And if you never heard of him, or you don't know a lot about him, there's a beautiful sefer called the Tiferes Shlomo on Moadim. I'll tell you one thing that I read incredible about the Tiferes Shlomo. One thing that's just amazing. He passed away in a regular, it's very like echoey, right? I don't need it. He passed away in a regular, it's fine, Simi, it's fine. It's fine. He passed away in a regular Adar, meaning a single year with a single Adar, not a Ibriyar. And normally when someone passes away in Adar, so their Yahrzeit is commemorated in the first Adar. It's the thing by Yahrzeit, they're commemorated in the first Adar. By the Tiferes Shlomo, the only tzaddik that's, you have someone else?
Okay. My father was second Adar.
Okay. He died in the second Adar?
No, he died in the first. Okay. In regular Adar.
So normally the Yahrzeits are in the first Adar. Okay. And the only one that they kept in the second Adar, it's the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is the Tiferes Shlomo. And so they say b'shem Rosh Shlomo Kupetz that the reason is because he was a Kohen and he was a beautiful singer, he had a beautiful voice, and Rosh Shlomo Kupetz said that he heard, like, this is the Masorah, that they keep it the day before. It has to be connected to Rosh Chodesh Nisan because he was taken to Shemayim then at that time, right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so he could sing Hallel on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the Tiferes Shlomo. So it should be an Ule for his Neshama. We'll just share a small idea. The Shpol Zeda, who lived around the time of Rabbi Nachman, famously they, during their lives, didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. The Shpol Zeda was coming time before Pesach, and he asked one of the kids, "Nu, what did you learn in school? You ready? You ready for the Seder?" And the kid told him, "I learned the tune that we say every year. There was a thing that they would say Kadesh Orchatz, and by each one they would explain a little bit. They had some type of tune that was passed down in the generations." And he said, "Okay, so let's practice. Let me hear what you learned in school. Let me hear what you learned in Cheder." And the kid said, "Here's the song, the way the song goes." He said that when the father comes home on the night of the Seder, he has to go right away into Kiddush, and that's Kadesh. And then he stopped. And the Shpol Zeda said, "No, that's only half the song. So why are you stopping?" "That's all we learned." "Okay, that's all you learned." "Okay, you know, some schools, they only teach you like half the song." He said, "Okay, that's all you learned." He was very upset. He went the next day to the Malamid. He said, "I don't understand. Will you teach them half a song? This is the second half here." He said, "I didn't want to burden them. It was enough already. We finished the lesson. We finished. It was getting late before Pesach. This is what we got to. We did half the song." And the Shpol Zeda made a point, and he said, "Do you understand the significance of everything that is attached to Chodesh Nisan, of everything that's attached to the Seder, of every inyan that there is?" He said, "Even in a little song that we teach the kids," he said, "you have to understand the song." He said, "You're right. The first half of the song is how you taught it to them exactly. When the father comes home from shul on Seder night, you have to go directly, straight away, into Kiddush." But he said, the second half of the song is that you have to go straight into Kiddush so that the children don't get tired and fall asleep, and then they won't be able to ask Vanishtana." And the Shpol Zeda told him, he said, "Do you understand what we're saying? It's not just a kid's song." He said, "Do you understand the significance of what we're saying?" He said, what we're saying and what we're doing in Shamayim when we say that little kid song on the night of the Seder, what we're saying is, has significance and has meaning. And the meaning is, said the Shpol Zeda, when the father comes home on the night of the Seder in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem comes at the night of the Seder and he sees what's going on and he sees the Jews, every Jew around a table, and he sees everyone's participating in a Seder. You know, right? They say Pesach and Chanukah, those are the two big ones. Universally, right? If we think outside of our Dalet Amos, those are the two big ones. But he said, in this little kid's song, what we're saying and what we're being ma'orer in Shamayim is that we're saying to Hashem, when Hashem comes in, he has to make Kiddush right away. When he sees what's going on and he sees the dedication of the Jews, Hashem renews his Kiddushin with Klal Yisrael. He renews his relationship with Klal Yisrael. And why does he do it here on the night of the Seder? Why does Hashem do that? So that the children shouldn't fall asleep. Because as we slip deeper into Galus, there's a risk that we fall asleep. And the risk, the ultimate risk that we fall asleep, is that the children will stop asking Manishtana, that the children will stop be even questions about this Galus. They'll stop even asking these questions. Said the Shpol HaZeda, this is the way to teach the song because this everything has significance. But he made a point to tell him, he made a point at the end when he told him that we have to keep asking Manishtana. As the story goes, he broke out in tears and he said, this is the most bitter of the most bitter of the Galus. This is the bitter, bitter Galus. This is already 200 years ago. I don't know if it's improved. But I want to point out that what is it, just to share a short idea, what is it? What is it about this Galus that makes it the longest and the most bitter and the hardest? So they say, B'Shem Rabbi Nachman, that there's really two levels of Galus. The first level of Galus is Hastara, Hester Panim. That's what we experienced. We experienced that type that's a Galus of a Purim Dika Galus, where you have a Hester Panim, you have the hiding of Hashem's face. That's the first level of Galus. The Jew's in Galus, and he knows he's missing something, because he looks around and he says, I'm missing something. It's one level. But a much deeper Galus is when the Yid looks around and he says, Galus? Not so bad. Not so bad here. I mean, we're pretty comfortable. As a community, we're doing pretty well. Definitely as a Frum community, this is probably the strongest the Frum community's been in thousands of years, right? Steiging away. People are connecting. It's incredible. You look around, you say, Galus, I don't know, it doesn't sound like it's all it's cracked up to be. It's really not so bad. It says Rabbi Nachman, that's a Hastara Shebesoch Hastara. Yes, that's where the song comes from that Torah. But that's a Hastara Shebesoch Hastara. That's the hiddenness of Hashem, inside of the hiddenness, when the Jew in Galus doesn't even understand what he's missing in that Galus. What it is that he's missing and what it is that he's looking forward to. And when he talks about Geula, he doesn't think about what does that mean. And when he says Matzmiach Karen Yeshua, he doesn't think what's the Yeshua. I don't know. Maybe they'll make, like, instead of easy lock sukkahs, they'll just make sukkahs that make themselves, right? So you don't even have to put the... There's always an Indian. In Galus, like, we got so good, we got so professional at being Jews. Like, anything you need to be Jewish, not only, like, have we figured out how to find it, like, we manufacture it. No, like, what?
Want salt water.
Yeah, you want salt water in the tin, right? But we manufacture things to make it easier to be Jewish. It's an incredible Galus. But the challenge that they bring down in this Galus, the challenge is even just conjuring up the feeling and the understanding and the realization that there's something missing and that we are in Galus. It's that realization that really we need as we approach and as we enter into Chodesh Nisan, which is really the Chodesh, the month of renewal. Renewal means that you started with a lack. Renewal means that you understood the lack, you understood there's something missing, and you need to find something new. You need to find a new path, and you need to find a derech. You need to find a way in Avodas Hashem. That's renewal. That's what it means when we talk about Maschil Begunos, Messiah B'Shevach. When we talk about the fact that we have to understand there's a lack in order to then appreciate and understand the eventual Geula. And even if we want to appreciate the little rays of sunshine poking through into this Galus, as they call it, the Or Chozer, as we can see the little poking through the lights of the Geula, if we want to appreciate that, we have to first come to the Hecker and the realization, the recognition that we're in Gullus. I think that that's really what he was saying, was that this is really the most bitter of the Gullus. When they stop asking Manishtana, when there's nothing missing, and so there's no questions anymore. We're not asking, is there something better, is there something more? And so what's the solution? What's the solution for us? First of all, I don't know if I beat the horse to death, but I always, you have to prepare for the night of the Seder. You have to prepare. I don't care if you're a guest. I don't care if you're a leader of the Seder. I don't care if you're by your in-laws. Preparation must be made, or by your parents even. Preparation must be made for the night of the Seder, because something personal has to happen where we then realize something's missing and I can gain it back on the night of the Seder. We said tonight in the Haggadah Chabura, beautiful idea, someone said, if the power of the night of the Seder, on that night, the power of Pesach was enough to get Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, then the power that is the koach in that night, the spirit of that night, and the power and the energy of that night that's coming down is enough for us to unlock, unchain all the things that lock us down inside. And it really comes through the Haggadah. You have to prepare with the Haggadah. It shouldn't be the first time you open the Haggadah is the night of the Seder. You open it up. Or if you're like a real dad, so like the afternoon before, right? Like, oh, you put the kids, take a nap, kids. You got to be up for the Seder. And then you go like quickly, like got to crack the old Haggadah open and get a couple pages ahead, right? It takes preparation. But really it takes an understanding, and we'll end with this. It takes really an understanding of what it is that Chazal were telling us when they called the book that we read and the experience that we have on the night of the Seder, when they call it the Haggadah. The Haggadah, there's a Chazal, they bring down that there's a difference between Lamor, to tell someone something, and Lahagid. And what's the difference? Lamor, when you tell someone something, what you're doing is imparting information to them. What you're doing is, I have a certain amount of information and I need to give it over. That's the Bechina of Lamor. The Bechina of Lahagid is in many psukim, it's referred to this way. In fact, the root really is from the word gid. What does that mean? From the word, the idea of gidin, like veins and sinews that run throughout our entire body. And what's the idea? The idea is that lahagid is a much deeper level. Lahagid is taking something from deep inside of me, not just information, not just a set of rules, says Hashem, but I want you to impart to your family and inside of yourself, I want you to impart something from deep, deep, deep within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just rules. Don't get distracted by the rules. The rules really are the framework for when this avoda happens, right? The shear of matzah is so important because that's how you're mekayim the mitzvah. But the shear is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, there's something in the matzah that's the mitzvah. The shear is the hechatimtza, how you do it. But like you described, the box, it's the box that contains inside of it your relationship, is the shiurim, is the chumras, is the halachos, is all of halacha creates the box. Now within that box, you build a relationship. Within that box, the Haggadah takes place. In that area inside of the parameters of the relationship. And that's the idea in the Haftarah that we're going to read actually next week, the Shabbos before Pesach. And the Haftarah, the Shabbos before Pesach, the Haftarah says that Eliyahu comes and he's Veheshiv Lev Avos Al Banim, Velev Banim Al Avosam. That there's a different relationship when Mashiach comes, and what we're hoping for and what we want, what we desire to happen, and what we can tap into on the night of the Seder, what we can tap into really the whole Chodesh Nisan, this renewal, is a renewal on a level. This is not employee-employer relationship. This is not an experience of melech and eved. This is not an experience where it's just lamor. I'm giving you, here's the set of rules. Here's your Shulchan Aruch. This is how... No. There's a much deeper level, says Eliyahu HaNavi. The deeper level is v'heshiv lev avos al banim v'lev banim al avosam, that it's a level of a father and a son. This is not employee-employer. It's not melech-eved. It's a father and a son. And to understand that that's Eliyahu's tafkid, that's the introduction to the whole Chag of Pesach that Chazal put into the Haftorah is that exact inyan, is that there's a close relationship that can be developed through this Yontif. And hopefully with that, we should continue asking Manishtana, we should continue asking ourselves, is this really a Gullus? And come to the answer and come to the conclusion that Taka it is a Gullus and Taka it is bitter, but there's that those little rays of light poking through that we can use to energize our entire year. L'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim.
What? Yeah.